Yeah, that's right. We got a long time to go in that galaxy far, far away here on Post Show Recaps talking Star Wars. And we are launching our coverage of the new Star Wars property of the moment. Say goodbye to the prequel trilogy. We are officially moving on from the prequel era. And I am so thrilled to be joined here this week by, you heard him on the Star Wars, the Clone Wars podcast that I was unavailable for. He was here with Mike Bloom. He's going to be my wingman here through our coverage of this new Star Wars property. It's Brendan Fitzpatrick to guide me through Star Wars biomes.
Yippee!
We're going all in on Star Wars biomes. We will do an 18-part podcast series talking about every single minute of Star Wars biomes, the new Star Wars Planet Earth, Planet Hoth show, Brendan.
Sounds fantastic. I've got a lot of hot and cold Wampa takes.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to get inside the Tauntaun with you. And
Caddy Wampas?
Caddy Wampas, yes.
Yeah. We are not talking about Star Wars biomes, although I'm happy to. I loved it. I had such a great time. Did you watch Star Wars Biomes, Brendan?
I did not.
So good. It's so good. Star Wars Biomes, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know what Star Wars Biomes is, which is my favorite Star Wars name for anything, is Star Wars Biomes, is it's an 18-minute TV special that they made for Disney Plus, where it's just like flyover shots, like drone footage of various planets from the Star Wars universe, done in sort of like the Planet Earth style without the narration.
Sure, why not? For the kids, you know, whoever.
It's for the me, for sure. It's 18 minutes, and it's just like the most relaxing, soothing Star Wars content that I can remember watching.
I'll have to check that out. I was not actually aware of its existence.
Do you know how, Brendan, like they do the like the Yule log on Netflix or whatever, yeah, like watch the fireplace, it's streaming for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
This should be that, but for Star Wars, except it's only 18 minutes and Disney Plus needs to figure out how to make that loopable so that like you can just like watch it ad nauseum. Otherwise, someone's going to rip it and put it on YouTube.
Put it on YouTube for 5 hours.
Yeah, they'll do like the 10-hour version of it. but it's great. It's so relaxing. I woke up this morning. We're recording this on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you, Brendan.
And also with you.
And also with Asher Bloom. Asher Bloom's second birthday. I want to give a shout out to Asher.
Padawan growing up so quickly.
Yeah, he doesn't quite have like the Padawan braid yet, but there's time.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
It's coming in. But I woke up on May the 4th and I knew that the Bad Batch was here and was like, okay, well, today's going to be the day. I'm talking to Brendan today about the Bad Batch. I'm very excited to do that because I'm, as we'll talk about, like more or less like a novice completely to like the animated stuff. Not totally, but more or less may as well be and excited to dive into it. But also there were like a bunch of other things that got dropped on Disney Plus in celebration of what is known as Star Wars Day, May the 4th be with you. And one of those things was Star Wars Biomes, which is this show where like it takes you to Hoth, it takes you to Tatooine, you go to Mustafar, you go to a couple other places, and it's just like flyover shots, and it's like super, super relaxing. They also dropped Star Wars vehicle fly-throughs, which I don't quite understand, but I think like it helps you like take tours of like the Millennium Falcon and stuff.
Interesting. Kind of like since you can't come to the Star Wars Galaxy Beyond exhibit, Disney, here's a
we'll
tour
take it
of all the
we're bringing it to you. There's did you see the Force Awakens from its nap, the Simpsons crossover?
I plan on checking that out after the podcast tonight. Yes, I'm very excited to check that out. That looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I think we're doing our due diligence right now, just like letting people know there's stuff out there. You can check out some weird things.
If anyone missed it or was kind of turned off by the idea, the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special was actually...
Was it good?
It was actually pretty enjoyable. I really enjoyed it. I checked it out, when it came out around Christmas. I actually really liked it, if people haven't checked it out.
Yeah, so I woke up this morning, like, prepared to watch The Bad Batch, and then I saw, like, the 18-minute Star Wars Biomes, and I turned that on, and I was like, all right, I could take on anything today.
Man, like, do you feel like you could take on the whole empire yourself?
I do. Or I may even be foolish enough to think I could turn on the Bad Batch and I could take them on myself. We've got a lot to talk about here. Star Wars The Bad Batch, new animated series that is now on Disney Plus. As of this recording, it dropped its first episode, 70 minutes long. Not quite a movie length, but close enough, Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty long. 70 minutes is a lot for an animated show.
I came in thinking it was only going to be like 22 minutes, and I'm sitting there, it's getting closer to work. I'm like, wait, how long is this thing?
I
finally like paused it, and there was still like another
half hour,
35 minutes left, and I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, it's like the length of three episodes, you know? It's like three episodes long.
I was glad to have it. It was great.
So The Bad Batch is here. It is what we will be talking about during the month of May here on A Long Time to Go. I don't know how many podcasts we will do. I think that's still in flux, Brendan. We're obviously doing this one. We have just like that Mondo episode to talk about. But I definitely want to do another check-in. I guess I'll spoil my take here is that I loved this. I thought it was really, really excellent. And I cannot fairly adequately weigh in on The Bad Batch versus The Clone Wars, having only watched as much of The Clone Wars as I have. Mm-hmm. But I think like the fact that this is like, there's clearly like a very like centrally focused narrative arc on a certain group of characters is probably going to get me a little bit more than sort of like the anthological approach that The Clone Wars takes. I know there's a lot of like really powerful arcs in Clone Wars, but there is that like nonlinear storytelling structure to Clone Wars that I feel like this is much more in the vein of like, you know, like episodic going forward, serialized storytelling. And I'm really intrigued by some of the mysteries and certainly the characters that they set up in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that they started going about it the right way by basically setting us right where we left the characters off in their little mini arc that they had in the final season of the Clone Wars. And then all of a sudden, bam, boom, we're right in the middle of Order 66, 10 minutes into the show, and everybody's going, what the hell is going on? And including us as the viewers. And then we just follow these guys the entire way. And I don't think we're going to lose focus from them the entire show, which is really, really exciting. Like, I described the Bad Batch to Mike as the A-team of Star Wars. And this very much fulfilled that sentiment and felt very much like, here is this ragtag group thrown out by the Empire, forced to fend for themselves. If you can find them, and if you can afford them, maybe you can hire Clone Trooper Segment 99.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I like it. I mean, so to give just like my background is I've been watching, I'm still slowly working my way through the Clone Wars, and I'm going by like the ultimate episode order that is really popularly spread around via Reddit. I think, Brendan, like I've made it through like maybe the equivalent of two seasons out of the seven. I think like that's probably like the percentage of Clone Wars that I've seen, maybe a little bit more because I have seen all of the Mandalore episodes from Clone Wars.
Okay,
cool. I did that in advance of The Mandalorian. So like I come into this without like the nitty gritty granular Clone Wars knowledge. I did watch it's the season 7 premiere, right? That has the introduction of the Bad Batch. So I checked that out.
And they have a 4-episode arc to start season 7 that, you don't see anything more of them after the first 4 of season 7. It's a good arc. It's a really nice introduction to these characters and what their deal is.
Yeah, but I think like if you haven't watched Clone Wars and you want to watch The Bad Batch, we did get that question on Twitter, right? It was
and in the Discord,
It's like, am I going to be confused? And my answer to that was like, if you're confused, so I will be confused as well,
right?
Because I haven't watched much Clone Wars at all.
And a lot of people have expressed that same concern because it really is a lot to go through all of the Clone Wars and all of the books and the comic books and the ancillary material and I'm not going to get this reference if I don't, if I don't watch and read all these other things. And,
right.
You know, I said it to, my podcast partner, Zach Brooks, the same way, which was, think about it like Mandalorian, where you didn't go into Mandalorian having read all the comic books and read all the new novels and everything that led up to that. And it's sort of one of those same things with between what Mandalorian did and what WandaVision did and Falcon and the Winter Soldier did, which is, if you read all that stuff, great, you'll appreciate it on a different level, but that doesn't mean you can't appreciate it at all. And I think the best way to approach this is, if you find yourself wanting to go down that road after watching the first couple episodes of Bad Batch, we
down
would
the hatch.
Encourage you. Yes. Yeah. Down the hatch, indeed. Down the hyper hatch.
Yeah.
We would encourage you to do that, but I also think that I would actually, given certain things that we see in this episode, have people hold off on that until the end of this series, and then go back and explore those things, because otherwise they may be setting themselves up to unintentionally spoil something.
It's interesting, yeah.
That the show doesn't want you to know yet if you're a first-time viewer of this.
Yeah.
So it's a delicate balance of the
story. I know that there are a lot of Easter eggs in this episode, and things that, if not for the fact that, like, it is both, like, my, presently it's my job, but forever it's going to be my passion to, like, kind of know this stuff.
Right.
So, like, I know, like, I certainly a notable character in this, you know, like, you'll be rewarded for that additional fandom, but right. You won't be lost. Like, if you're listening to the podcast, like, get, like, you haven't watched the Bad Batch premiere yet, and you're like, am I going to be able to, like, understand? Like, yes, definitely. Yeah. Here's what you need to know. You've watched the first three, you watched the prequels, right? You've listened to the podcast that we did about the prequels. If not, go listen to them. We've covered the prequels extensively. We covered the Clone Wars a little bit. We've done Mando,
you know, yeah. We've done the Extended Universe with Mando.
You know the Clone Wars, right? The Clone Wars happened. You know that's what happens between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. You know by the end of Revenge of the Sith, Order 66 has been executed. Palpatine's made his move. Jedi are gone. Things are changing. We are moving towards the Empire. The Bad Batch takes place during that transitional period, very, 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 very quickly, if not, in fact, immediately after / kind of during Revenge of the Sith is when the Bad Batch begins. And it's chronicling a group of clones that, because they were experimented upon in ways beyond even the traditional clones, they are not just by nature susceptible to executing Order 66. Right. They have a little bit more free will.
Yeah, they're mutants to a degree is a good way to think about them. They are super enhanced clones. They each have a different sense or set of skills that was enhanced in their formation. And so they each have a very particular set of skills that they use throughout the episode. And the show does a really good job setting up what differentiates each one of these characters and giving them a moment so that you don't necessarily feel like you have to know who they are ahead of time. The show does a great job of mapping out for you and getting to know these characters all by itself.
Yeah.
In the first 80 minutes.
It really does. I felt right at home. Like, I felt like, okay, so this is a show that's going to be exploring what was the immediate aftermath of Star Wars after Revenge of the Sith and before A New Hope. And obviously before a bunch of the other things that we can ultimately talk about the deeper we go with A Long Time to Go. Like, the game plan is, yeah, we'll get into Solo, we'll get into Rebels, we'll get back to Rogue One, and then we'll get to the original trilogy. Uh-huh. This is a piece of that. We're now, like, moving away from that Clone Wars era, that prequel era, and into, really, in some degree, Brendan, I feel like kind of like undiscovered country. Like, this feels like, that's why this was really exciting to me. It's like, oh, well, this feels new. It feels familiar, but it also feels pretty fresh.
Yeah, and I mean, timeline-wise, when this takes place, there's still a solid 5 years before, 5-6 years before the Solo movie takes place. So there's a wide galaxy of time out there for them to explore, which is really, really exciting. And so there's a myriad of ways they can go with these characters to fill in some of those gaps. And I mean, that's what each of these shows and each of these movies seems to be doing to a degree, which has been really fun and exciting. They're basically creating a new timeline and filling us in and letting us go on the adventure through the POV of a different character all along the way.
Yeah. A bunch of different characters, all voiced by the same actor, Dee Bradley Baker, legend.
Yes.
And he did all of like the clone voices, right?
He did every clone voice in
the show. It's amazing. In the Clone Wars. Yeah.
It's wild.
He voices every member of the Bad Batch. It's all one single actor, which is really, really awesome. They do a great job with that. I really enjoyed this first episode a lot. Like, if that's like what you're, you know, you want to hear the portion of the podcast where it's like, should I do it? I vote yeah. Like, if you like Star Wars, if you like animation, you know, that's a big barrier to entry. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be down to watch a cartoon. It's a cartoon.
Right.
As long as that is you, if that describes you, I don't think you need to have watched Clone Wars, is my experience with it. I think, like, I imagine the ways in which you are going to be, like, greatly rewarded for that investment and some of the investment in other ancillary material, but it doesn't feel like it is absolutely essential, and I will definitely be watching this weekly. Whether who knows how long the Bad Batch is going to go on for, Brendan, but like I would not be surprised if I end up watching all of this before I finish watching the Clone Wars. It's a lot of Clone Wars out there, Brendan.
A lot of Clone Wars out there. There really, really is, and not just Clone Wars, but I mean, we haven't even said the one letter word of the next show except the one time, Rebels.
Yeah,
immediately, you know, follows this timeline wise. With Solo and Rogue One. So, I mean, there's a lot of space out there and a lot of things that people can go out and explore. But yeah, I think that I would say that if you're really, really invested after the first episode and you feel like you can't wait, then don't wait and go watch those things. But I think you will be rewarded if you do wait.
Yeah.
Would be my advice.
All right, so let's, you know, we'll do a little more setup before we talk about the episode proper, because they're just like, there's, I think, like a few characters, like a few, like, I want to get situated a little bit more. I've got like maybe some questions, Brendan, that I know you live and breathe this stuff, that you can help me through. So let's talk about Clone Force 99, The Bad Batch. I have to say, I do think this is a terrible name for a show. I do think like calling your show The Bad Batch, like, it's a good thing it's really good.
They're the don't bothers of the clones.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well to piggyback on another Disney Plus show that we're covering in some channels here on Post Show Recap. They're basically the Mighty Ducks Don't Bothers team of the clones.
Yeah.
Nobody wants them.
Can
nobody
you imagine that if that's what they had called the Mighty Ducks, Don't Bothers, like that was the name of the show instead of Game Changers? They did Bad Batch. It's just a terrible way to start things off, I feel like.
It really is. I think that part of that is that you can't really call them, like, I don't know. You can't really call them Unit 99. I mean, that's just going to be confusing. Like, what does that mean?
I don't know. They did Brooklyn 99, Clone Force 99. That doesn't work.
I don't think that works, because I think you get the call from Andy Samberg. And
yeah,
like,
maybe.
Am I in this movie?
You get that call from Andy Samberg wanting to be on Clone Force 99. You say yes.
Oh, you do say yes.
Quickly. I don't know what you call it instead, but they are the Bad Batch. I just feel like you better have a really good show. Luckily, it seems like they do. The Bad Batch consists of the following characters, and I'd love for you to, like, give us the breakdown on them. It's Hunter, Wrecker, Tech, Crosshair, and Echo. Let's start from the front. So Hunter, he's the guy who kind of looks like Solid Snake. He's got like the mullet.
He kind of looks like Rambo. He has a bandana and a mullet and a face tattoo. And
I thought for the longest time was a beard. And then it took me a second to realize.
Like a grease paint thing, but I think it's actually a tattoo.
It's like a half skull, basically. Yeah.
He's our de facto leader of the brigade. He's ranked as a sergeant. His ability is he is an expert tracker. He has enhanced sense of smell, of sound, of everything that you would need. This guy would kill it on Lost as a buddy of John Locke's. Like, he could hunt some boar with the best of them.
Yeah, the bad boar.
He's our expert tracker. And then we have his second in command, who's Tech, who is our pilot and basically our Donatello of the group. I mean, he even has the big googly glasses and is basically your tech. He, you know, fiddles with all the gadgets. He speaks droid. He's an expert pilot. He's good at fixing things. He's really probably my favorite character, actually. And also, like, a good tech. He's main superpower is his cunning wit. He always has a smart aleck comment, it seems, for every situation.
Yeah.
And then Wrecker is basically your Mr. T, if we're going back to the A-team analogy.
I was
going to
say, yeah, he's sort of like the Bruiser. Yeah.
He is your big, beefy Bruiser who loves just throwing dudes around and wrecking shop. And yeah, just, he's the most headstrong of the group, like physically and mentally. He wants to just charge right into battle without even having a plan.
He also has like his cuddly stuffed animal though, so he's a soft side. Yeah.
he's also got like the biggest heart because he's the biggest dude. So I mean, he's, you know, instantly the most likable because he's also sort of, he only has one eye, and that's really interesting. We don't find out why he only has one eye, but maybe that'll be a story they'll explore down the line. And then we have Crosshair, who is your special ops sniper type, who basically has zero sense of humor to counterbalance him with Tech, and is basically an expert marksman and is always sent to scout and do the, you know, the special ops recon stuff for all of their stuff and then take out guys from above.
Right.
You know, and we find out through the course of the episode that something definitely happened with his chip that didn't happen with the others, and he may or may not be
feeling a certain way.
About the rest of his unit.
Yeah.
And then we have Echo, who actually is more machine than man at this point, because there is an I'm gonna spoil a little bit of the Clone Wars because I have to give you some Echo background. But Echo was a clone trooper who was kidnapped by the Separatists in a arc early on in the Clone Wars and was experimented on. And then during season 6, he was found. I'm sorry, season 7. He was found by Topper and Five during this, or I'm sorry, Fives and Rex during this Bad Batch mission in the start of season 7, where they found out he was still alive and that the Separatists had been basically using his brain to find out how all of the clones were going to operate tactically.
Right.
So they were basically able to hack into his brain and predict clone troop movements.
Got it.
Based on his own. And so he's an expert tactician. They rescued Echo, and Echo chose to stay with the Bad Batch rather than going back to Rex's unit.
Got it.
At the end of that season 7 arc.
Got it. So that's the Bad Batch. Yeah. That's the crew. So there's five of them. And then like maybe a quasi sixth member of the group by the end of this episode in the form of Omega, who is a young kid who seems to like be like super into like hanging out with the Bad Batch. Yeah.
She don't really know much about her. She constantly, especially Hunter, she seems to have some special connection with him and constantly wants to just be like, no, I really want to hang out with you guys. I really like you. You're Clone Troop 99.
Yeah, she's like a fan. Huge fan.
Yeah.
But there's like some questions about her. Like, so she's a clone. She seems like she's different from the other clones.
Correct.
Who is she based on? I feel like that is like one of the major mysteries hanging over the head of the show now. So that's like the general setup, right? You know,
She may or may not have some form of enhancement herself.
Yes.
But that's a little vague at this point.
So. Yeah. All right. So I feel like that's enough setup. Yeah. I feel like we could talk about the episode itself. We can get into like some of the actual like spoilers from the episode. I will also say like there are some spoilers from things outside of Bad Batch that I think we will probably inevitably talk about.
Yeah.
Right? Like I think that there are a couple things. I'm fine. I'm okay. Let's, you know, I think like within reason, we're not going to like spoil like an ending of Rebels or like an ending of Clone Wars necessarily. But I think like there's like certain cameos and stuff that I think it'd be hard to talk about without expressing why they are significant. So I think if that sounds like too spoilery for you, maybe I would dip out on the podcast now. Otherwise, we are going to start the process of getting into that stuff. And to that point, Brendan, the episode, when it begins, we're basically following the Bad Batch's reaction to Order 66, right?
Correct.
We're on a different planet. We're seeing a Jedi who's there. We're, you know, in the thick of the Clone Wars.
Jedi Master Deepa Bilaba and her apprentice, Caleb.
Is she, she's a character that we have, is she just in Rebels or is she in Clone Wars as well?
She's a Clone Wars character that you would have seen before in the Clone Wars and also is a prevalent character in the, you know, comics and expanded universe books and stuff. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. The big deal, obviously, and so this is where we're starting to like dip into Rebel stuff is, no, your ears did not deceive. That was some Freddie Prinze Jr. you heard, I think. Right.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. I think it really was.
Who I know plays Caleb on Star Wars Rebels, who's like an outstandingly beloved character.
Correct. So young Caleb, obviously escapes the situation in this episode. And you, if you're outside of the context of this, you may not know what became of young Caleb. However, if you're a fan of Star Wars Rebels, you have heard the name Caleb Doom before, and it's because it's the real name of Jedi Knight Kanan Jarrus, who is the master to Ezra Bridger on Rebels. And that's just something that was sort of a holy crap moment as soon as it happened for a lot of fans, because the death of Deepa Bilaba is something that you heard about on Rebels. And you heard that origin story, but you never actually saw it. And so for them to pay that off and show you that in the first 5 minutes of the show is sort of a mind-blowing moment for a lot of deep-cut Star Wars cartoon fans.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think like that's like an immediate sign of, like, we got your back. Like, we're gonna show you the things.
Yeah, it's Dave Filoni. It's like, yeah, I think I'm back. It's Dave Filoni going, I'm back.
Wait, Dave Filoni's John Wick?
Yeah, basically, I think he is. Because, I mean, he John Wicked with Ahsoka in Mandalorian, and now he's John Wicking with, you know, Caleb Doom in Bad Batch.
So, yeah. So it's cool. I enjoyed that. Like, we had like a writer who's covering the show, and like he had like mentioned that this was happening, and I would like to think that I would have recognized Freddie Prinze Jr. Just I'm not as big of a Freddie Prinze Jr. fan as one Kevin Mahadeo, but close enough that I think I would have recognized it. But I recognized the significance more than anything. I think it is really cool. It's a really nice nod to everybody who really loves this stuff and has watched everything. I'm sure it must be really exhilarating to get all that stuff. But the Bad Batch doesn't execute Order 66, Brendan.
I mean, Crosshair certainly seems to be conflicted about it when it happens, but the rest of them seem to have their inhibitor chips dampened by something we're not really sure yet. It'll get explored later in the episode, where it just seems like due to their modifications and mutations, their inhibitor chips were basically damaged and defaulted. But Crosshair certainly, first off, just seems to be like, why aren't we following orders? But then it certainly seems that he mentally is still hearing the order somehow and is going through a struggle that'll pay off later on in the episode. It's really tough to see. I thought that the conflict between him and Hunter was really good. And I really appreciated the conflict in Hunter himself as a leader in, you know, being like, wait, this doesn't make any sense. Why would we execute Jedi? You know, the Jedi are our commanders.
Right.
They're the only ones we're supposed to be taking orders from. Why would we kill them all? You know, and it doesn't make any sense to him. But yeah, and then, you know, they have to get back to Kamino to try to figure out what's going on. And that's when the whole plot starts to unravel. Like, they notice something is off as soon as they land.
Yeah. So the inhibitor chips are like implanted in them as part of the cloning process. Like,
correct. Yeah.
This was like baked in as part of Palpatine's plan from the start, basically. Yeah.
Right. So basically there's a arc in Clone Wars where a inhibitor chip inside of a clone malfunctions and he kills his Jedi Master prematurely.
Yeah.
Because he executes Order 66. And when he does it, he says, "Good soldiers follow orders," which is the line that Crosshair continues to repeat throughout this episode.
Got it.
So that is supposed to sort of clue you into the fact that his inhibitor chip is malfunctioning, much like Tots was in Clone Wars, that led to him killing his Jedi Master prematurely.
So this, I'm really happy to hear that, because like I think I needed this cleared up for myself. Like, Crosshair is like, he's such a serious dude, and like in like the Clone Wars arc of Bad Batch where they're introduced, like that was already the thought. I was like, this guy is like a pill, man. Like,
yeah, you know,
just like take a nap, take a rest, like go for a run, like just do something. And like, he's just such a jerk. And I thought that maybe it was just going to be that he's kind of like, this guy's snapping, he's like, he was never really fitting in with the Bad Batch anyway, but there's evidence on the show, this is your belief, that like, he is part of, he's like also one of the clones who's just like been like messed up by the Order.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that whatever, if you think about it, his modification probably would do the least amount of damage to whatever internal brain process he has, because his modification is more physical.
Yeah.
So it's possible, I don't know, this is just me spitballing, but it's possible that, you know, whatever damage was done to all of their inhibitor chips when they were modified, his was the least. So it is affecting him now, when it's not the others.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be more effective.
I really like it as a premise, Brendan. Mm-hmm. Like, as a premise, I really love the idea that one of the Bad Batch is like, I guess... yeah, like Breaking Bad Batch. You know, like, I like that he's sort of gone rogue, Rogue One, and he is against the rest of the crew. I think it's a smart storytelling choice, because it gives us a really easy way to have like a bunch of different storylines, because Crosshair can't like be with the main crew, at least not right away. I wonder if this is like long term stuff, or this is just like sort of like short term, like he's going to be against them for a little while.
I kind of would be okay with it if he was against them the entire series, but I don't expect that to happen. I do expect them to have to probably execute him at some point when he won't stop coming after them, but I don't see a scenario, at least in my mind, where he rejoins them as a team. Because
they can't fix the chip. That's not an option.
I mean, they can, and they did in the Clone Wars storyline, but it's very difficult, and it takes, you know, a medical droid on Kamino to do it.
Yeah.
And so they would have to go back into the heart of everywhere to get it out of him.
There's got
to
be another medical droid they can find, or like someone with some midichlorians to spare perhaps could do their little Jedi surgery. Jedi would make great doctors.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, they would... you know, what happens when they ignite their scalpel?
It couldn't get much worse. Their bedside manner would probably, you know, it's a good thing
to be desired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Do we know what happens long term to the clones? We know that they're not the stormtroopers.
Correct. And that's actually the thing that I realized. It was like, oh my God, this is how they're going to deal with this sort of plot discrepancy from what we know. And that's like, it seems like a lot of the quote-unquote clones they're interacting with once they get back to Kamino don't seem to be clones.
Yeah.
And so it seems like the replacement is already starting when they land on Kamino.
Interesting.
And in fact, Tarkin is talking about how he wants to get rid of clones.
Yeah.
And, you know...
because he's so cheap. He's like, we could just buy, like... We could just like salary a bunch of people to be troopers. It'd be easier, cheaper.
And they're like, you know, there's no way a stormtrooper can account for the efficiency of a clone. And it's like, yeah, thanks for trying to explain why they're such bad shots in one line.
Well, I guess like I wonder, because like yeah, we never see the clones of the original trilogy, so you assume that they're not really there. Otherwise, we probably would have seen the clones in the original trilogy. But, like, that's the whole point behind, like, the expanded stuff, where, like, they can, you know, they can show us, like, what's happening in between the Luke, Han, and Leia of it all. So I guess I was wondering, like, is it possible that the clones will themselves rebel against the Empire at some point? Can they do something to the inhibitor chip? Is it possible to reverse it? And then the other thought that I had, Brendan, so it's like, there's like two things maybe to talk through here. It's like, is that a possibility? Or like even worse, is there like some way to like mass kill the clones?
I mean, you would think if they have a chip that can make them fall in order, they have a chip that can make them
shut down,
spontaneously combust.
Oh my god, they all just explode.
They all just, their brains just
fry.
It's awful to think about, but I mean, there are clones in, you know, this show that don't have their inhibitor chip active, and there are clones on Clone Wars that have had theirs removed, so we know it can be done. But it's a lengthy process, and I doubt you're doing that to
everybody.
Clones. So in order for them to rebel against the Empire, you would have to have enough of them who had their chips removed to do that, because right now all they're programmed to do is be drones and do whatever order, you know, Palpatine and the Kaminoans put into them. So it's sad to think about, but I think we are looking
worried.
Yeah.
All right. So there's that that's going on. So whether or not the clones join the resistance or rebel in their own way, I think is TBD. But we are seeing like the nascent rebellion, right? We're starting to see the rise of the insurgency.
All
we meet Saw Gerrera.
Deceptions.
Yeah, we meet Saw Gerrera in this episode, who is going to live long enough to die in Star Wars Rogue One.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
And
he's going to grow up to be Forrest Whitaker, so that's going to be fun.
Yes.
And have a Darth Vader-esque lung implant that we don't see yet on this show, so that's going to be fun.
What's Saw Gerrera's whole deal?
So Saw Gerrera was a rebel who was fighting in the Beast Wars on Onderon with his sister, trying to liberate the planet of Onderon from an evil prince. I believe it was a prince. And during the rebellion, to free Onderon, Ahsoka came to Onderon and helped. And during that rebellion, the Republic refused to send reinforcements, leading to the death of Saw Gerrera's sister.
Got it.
Which basically now forced Saw Gerrera to go completely rogue and not trust any side no matter what, which is sets up the guy that we get in Rogue One, who is having his own private rebellion and doesn't want to join anybody's official cause, because official causes just get lead to bureaucracy
and
get people killed.
Right.
So
this guy is going to be the foundation of the rebellion, though.
He's going to be foundation of a rebellion, but he never wants any part of the larger,
like the rebellion,
official rebellion. Yeah, of the official Rebel Alliance, because if you recall, that's his deal in Rogue One, is that he refuses to stop being a militant guerrilla tactic.
Right.
And just, you know, bomb the shit out of people instead of actually trying to fight as one force and add his forces to the larger rebellion. He refuses. So.
Saw Gerrera, there's so many great names in Star Wars, but that's got to be pretty high up there. Saw Gerrera. What an incredible name.
I love the name Saw Gerrera. It's great.
Saw Gerrera. So Hunter and the Bad Batch link up with Saw Gerrera in this episode, if only for a little while. Like, they are, like, hired to go and eliminate Saw Gerrera's group, and Hunter's like, no. Not going to do it. Do we think is this just like an Easter egg, or do you think that this is the start of a storyline here?
I think this is the start of a storyline. I would expect the Bad Batch and Saw to link up a couple of times throughout this series. because while they aren't part of the larger rebellion, they are the first Rebel Alliance we see on this show. And of all the Rebel Alliances for them to join, this one makes the most logical sense to try to escape and fight the Empire for them to join up with Saw Gerrera's people in some way, but I expect some kind of split when things start to go sideways.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested. I'm interested to know exactly what, like, the story of this is going to be, because by the end of the first episode, the Bad Batch are on the run. Crosshair is back in league with the Empire, but the other four are gone and they've got Omega with them. Like, is this just going to be like some sort of like Mandalorian style running around from place to place type of deal? Or
if they do that, I don't know how that's going to be 14 to 15 episodes, which is what it looks like it's slated for.
Yeah.
Unless it really is going to be the classic 80s action show mission of the week with no greater through line. I don't know. I'm really interested to see what the main plot line is going to be, because I don't expect the Crosshair thing to last all season.
Yeah, I wonder if they're if it's like, is that like villain of the season, or is it just like sort
of the arc? Yeah, because they have shown in the Clone Wars that they like to do little arcs. So yeah. I can see this being, you know, Bad Batch arc one is dealing with running away from Crosshair, then having to confront Crosshair. You know, arc two of season one is whatever arc comes after that. You know, with whoever they have to find to help them figure out what's going on with Omega. I don't know if that's what it is, but
all right.
You know, speculating what a second arc could be.
Well, you said who is Omega?
What is her deal?
What is Omega? Why is Omega? What's the deal? All right. So it's this kid who's like, she's Bad Batch super fan. And she's like, I love the Bad Batch. The Bad Batch is my favorite. She loves the Bad Batch. All she wants to do is hang out with Hunter.
She's got a Bad Batch picture hologram hidden under her bed. Like,
she's obsessed. And she fits right in, right? Because there's the moment where Crosshair is like going to like shoot Hunter in the head from a distance.
Yeah.
And Omega just like bops the gun out of his hand. Like, she's even more eagle-eyed than Crosshair.
My thought was maybe she can somehow see into the future, because she also tells him earlier when they're in the brig that she knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So there's some sort of weird mind power she's got.
She's hooked up with some kind of power, and I think the question is, what do I was just going to ask, do the Jedi see the future?
Of course they can. Definitely they can. We've established this with Maul Annie. Or they see some version of the future.
Yeah.
Yes. Whether it's true or not.
Who do we think Omega is? She's not a Jango Fett clone, right?
No. I think a lot of people are speculating that she's probably Hunter's daughter, and that's why he feels such a strong connection to her.
Interesting.
She's a clone of Hunter. The other thing that I thought of is that she could be the most advanced of all of them, because she has a little bit of all of them inside of her. So she's like a super, super duper, super enhanced clone.
The worst batch.
Yeah, she's like the worst batch, because she's got a little bit of all the Bad Batch. So, and my thought is that this could have been a way for them to try to synthetically create the Force within a clone.
Yeah.
And that's my main thought as to why they would try to do something like that.
How about this?
Mm-hmm.
So, once upon a time, there was this movie. And the movie was called Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. And in Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, there is a series of scenes, a sequence even, in which Jango Fett and his baby clone son Boba Fett are trying to get the heck out of Kamino, and because they're busted, right? Like, we know what you did, Jango, and so they're trying to get out of there in a hurry, in a tizzy even. and they go and they fly and they try to, but they're being pursued by who, Brendan?
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. I do think that's how you pronounce it, right? I think it's Obi-Wan. That's the noise it makes when they shoot the thing. Wan. Yeah. Obi-Wan Kenobi shows up, the hello there, and fights Jango Fett, and it's like a big sprawling battle in the rainy Kamino station, and he falls down that one point. This is a PG movie, so you don't see any blood, but is there a world, Brendan, where when Obi-Wan came to Kamino, that he fought Jango Fett, and if he left behind any blood from the battle, could that have been used for any kind of cloning purposes? Brendan, could Omega be a secret Kenobi?
Is that just because her name starts with an O?
Yeah.
Omega Kenobi?
Omega clone Obi.
Oh, no.
What do you think? No? No
that
good?
That is the wildest theory that I've heard all day, and I hate it. And I'll tell you exactly why.
I don't know that I love it either. So
I'm that meme of the guy in the plaid shirt saying, "I hate it."
Oh man, that's great.
So the problem is they've done the Force-sensitive kid who nobody knows their true parentage, and somebody has to protect them and take them along on a mission.
A few times.
Three times already.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are we doing that again? Don't do that.
Because, Brendan, these stories rhyme. They rhyme.
It's a haiku.
It's yeah. Haiku Bot loved the Bad Batch, by the way.
100%.
The Haiku Bot.
I think if it's anything, it's more that it was an experience. If we're going to say that it's somehow force related, then my leading theory is that it was an experiment to synthetically create the force to put into a clone body from the Emperor.
Sure. And that tracks.
That's the most logical thing.
Yeah.
So that's what ends up happening. And we have to make the final movies make sense, yada, yada.
And it is canonically the job of the cartoons to make the movies better.
The move, not just make them make sense, fix them.
Yeah.
Make it better.
Yeah. So do you think that that might be where we're going to go with the Omega storyline, is like through Omega, like we will at least like somehow make the return of Emperor Palpatine make some kind of sense for Rise of Skywalker?
I think between her and Grogu, that's what they're trying to do.
Get Grogu out of this. Oh my God. Yeah, what if Omega and Grogu are going to become friends?
Oh, man, that would be adorable.
Do you think
she would be very old by then?
Could we see Omega in The Mandalorian?
Possibly, if she's
around. How old is she going to be at that point?
That's probably, 30 years after this show? 35?
Yeah, so when does...
She'd be in her mid-40s.
When does Revenge of the Sith take place is my first question. Okay, 19 BBY, 19 years before the Battle of Yavin. Right. When does The Mandalorian take place?
Well, it's 5 years after Endor.
Mandalorian takes place nine
years after Endor.
ABY. So we're talking about 30 years. So yeah, Omega's going to be
45,
you know, that's a good character. Like they could find someone good to play that character.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I hope that she's a good character. I'm a little bit irritated by there being a prominent kid already.
Yeah. I'm a little tired of the kid coming along for the ride trope, but at the same time, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
And it wasn't great with Anakin, but it has worked fabulously with Ahsoka, right? She was a kid, and then she ended up people didn't love her at first, and then she became the most beloved character in the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it worked great with Ahsoka. It works in Rebels with a character that we meet later on.
Yeah.
It works with Mandalorian with Baby Yoda. I mean, everybody loves Grogu.
Yeah.
So I mean, it has worked. It's just a matter of executing it properly in a way people, can appreciate. We'll see. I mean, this is only the first episode, so
I have another theory My job today is to be just the idiot who asks dumb questions that like everybody who's watched Star Wars: The Clone Wars being like, oh man, this is tough. So Admiral Tarkin is kind of being positioned as like the bad guy.
Yeah.
I think like he's being positioned as like the bad guy here for the bad batch.
Like the Krennic in Rebel or Rogue One. Yeah.
Like who is like, if there's like sort of like an arch bad guy, this is sort of Tarkin's time.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like, was he in Clone Wars at all?
He was in Clone Wars a few episodes, and that's
okay.
They reference his, you know, aversion to clones and hating clones from, that's all Clone Wars stuff.
Got it. Okay. So they're already like setting up that this dude hates clones.
Yeah.
They're also setting him up as like a chief antagonist of the Bad Batch. He's like the bad guy of the pilot. Yeah. And, you know, without knowing like where things are going, like I would expect him to continue to be a very important player on the show.
Definitely.
We know how Admiral Tarkin dies. Makes it all the way to Grand Moff, this guy.
Yeah, Grand Moff, this guy. Look at this guy.
Grand Moff Tarkin.
All over the place.
Moffing all over the world. He's going to Grand Moff his way to the Death Star, where he shall blow up and die.
Recognized his foul stench when she was brought on board. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Grand Moff Tarkin is not going to make it out of A New Hope. We know where his story ends. We do not yet know where the Bad Batch's story ends, but we have a movie that was made about how did they get the plans to destroy the Death Star. That's Rogue One.
Yep.
Could it be that we have a show here, Brendan, where we are going to track the Bad Batch as like this, like sort of like eternal infernal thorn in Tarkin's side? And is there a universe where one or more members of the Bad Batch are on the Death Star at the time of the Death Star's destruction? And we can like play out a little bit more of like one of these behind the scenes, in between the lines of the story, vendettas against Tarkin.
Oh, that's so sad.
Could the Bad Batch, like Rogue One, their way into Death Star, into A New Hope, and die there?
Opposing plans that nobody realized there was another secret mission on the Death Star itself.
Yeah.
While everything else was happening. Oh my God.
Well, you know why that would
be it?
You know why that would be great?
Why just attack with X-Wings when you could have a covert op inside the Death Star also trying to take it out from the inside?
You know what would be great about that?
They opened the exhaust port. They opened the exhaust port.
They had, it's that eternal debate, right? Of like, what if there were good people inside the Death Star? Like,
oh my God.
We don't know who else was in there. Well, maybe the Bad Batch can answer that question. Hunter was in there.
Maybe he was.
Wrecker was there.
Let's see what happens. I don't expect the show to go that far, but who knows?
Yeah.
Just because that's a lot of years to cover for the show, but...
It's 19, right? We'll see. It's 19 years?
19 years worth of show. We'll see.
You think, so, okay, then. So you're saying that the Bad Batch, the characters, they're not alive 19 years from this moment.
I mean, they could be. They absolutely could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know.
How far do we know about like the oldest clone without spoiling who it is or why?
Yeah. So you do see a couple of clones pop
in Rebels, right?
Rebels,
yeah.
But I won't tell you who and where and why, but they definitely do age. And yeah, there are clones in Rebels, and Rebels takes place, you know, only a few short years from Battle of Yavin. So it's quite possible there was a clone inside the Death Star or whatever.
Okay.
Who knows?
Okay.
You know.
That's my prediction. I think we're going to get, I think we're going to end at the Death Star.
Okay.
Do you think we get Darth Vader on the Bad Batch?
I think we might see him. I kind of hope they don't pull the Vader card.
But why wouldn't they? This whole show is about. Do you see Vader in Rebels every once in a while, right?
True.
He shows up there.
See Vader a couple of times in Rebels.
Yeah, like you know, this is the time. He's thriving. This
That's
is when
fair.
Vader's He's feeling himself.
This is the, that's right, this is the prime Vader going around killing all of
I guess
Europe.
Like he needs a couple weeks off. He deserves bereavement.
He's still rehabbing right now too. I mean, he's still trying to work the kinks out of his armor right now as he's learning to walk.
Yeah.
But
he's been through a lot
later on. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder about that. But like I want to see him and Tarkin together. I think would be fun. So hopefully we get some of that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited about the possibilities.
Yeah, there are a lot of really fun possibilities. I mean, there are a lot of characters that could show up, that from the Clone Wars era that I'm personally excited about, including one that I think is our leader in the clubhouse for who they're going to see.
I was just going to ask, so like the end of the episode, right? Yeah. Like they take off. They're like, we're going to go to J-19.
J-19.
We've got a good friend there. We're going to J-19. That's where they're going. Yeah. And we think we know who that is.
I think I do, but I don't. I haven't seen any theories backing it up, and I haven't seen a lot of theories in general about who J-19 could be.
Yeah.
But leader in my clubhouse, just because he's my favorite guy, is Hondo!
Who's Hondo? Who's that?
Hondo Inaka is a pirate smuggler weakling who constantly is flipping sides and ultimately leans on the side of good throughout the entirety of the Clone Wars. He is a constant ally and thorn in the side of Ahsoka, Obi-Wan, and Anakin.
Cool.
So he's kind of a pain in the ass. He's a wisecracking smuggler who really is just out for a quick payday. At the end of the day, he's basically an alien Han Solo before Han Solo turns completely good.
I'm not so, bad about that. That sounds fun.
I know he's one of Dave Filoni's favorite characters. He's one of my favorite characters. He's my leader in the clubhouse for who I hope it is, for sure.
Hondo.
Yeah, Hondo.
Hondo P. 100%.
100, yep.
Oh, Hondo's at Galaxy's Edge. Yeah, I saw him there. I went to Galaxy's Edge with Kevin.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we rode on the Millennium Falcon ride together. I did the job where you just, like, you, like, hit the wall and you don't look at anything. It was pretty disappointing, but I was very good at it. I was very, very talented, but I didn't see anything.
It was a little disappointing.
What do I
get to do? Okay, you have to look at this wall and push this button.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. Didn't really like. I would like crane my head every once in a while. I'd be like, "Where are we?" No, stop! You gotta touch the thing. All right, okay. Waited on a very long, hour-long line in the boiling California heat to push buttons on a wall.
Do better, Galaxy's Edge. Do better.
Yeah, they should rethink that part of the ride. They need to change that because it's not good.
I think it was probably meant for like 4-year olds who all they want to do is push buttons.
It's me. I'm the 4-year old. this was my job. Brandon, do we have any feedback that you wanted to get into?
Yeah. So we just did have a couple of notes from people in Discord. So
the post show recaps, patron Discord, of course, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. If you'd like to sign up, join the community. It's a really fun time.
Yeah. So we didn't really talk about the little medical droid that Omega is interacting with that gets blown up during her escape. There's a little Kamino medical droid that's really cute and floating around and has a really fun couple of lines. That droid is actually the same droid from the Kamino arc in Clone Wars. That's actually the droid that removes the inhibitor chip from Clone Trooper 5's during that arc. And
okay.
I was so sad when that droid got blown up because I was really hoping that Kishi would make it onto the ship.
Okay.
They would make it onto the ship.
Yeah.
Because they would have been a great addition to this, and that's the one thing our crew is missing so far is a droid.
It's fairly brutal, the show. You obviously like they have to honor the Order 66 thing, but it sounds like they killed off like a fairly loved character. Mm. And now they're killing off like a happy go lucky droid.
Yep. So maybe if they do go back to Kamino, they can get the droid back and they can be part of the crew, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Drayson writes it and says, I think that the development with Crosshair will be temporary. The Kaminoans reference having enhanced his control chip. I think the rest of the match will undo that enhancement and get their sniper back eventually. We already hit on this. I kind of disagree with this. I think he's going to be the first arc antagonist and not make it out. Where do you stand?
I think that this is my big question is, like, is the show going to be anthological or is it going to be serialized? Mm-hmm. Rebels was more serialized, right? Like,
right.
Was Rebels dealing with, like, mini arcs, or was it, like, pretty straight through, like, you're following a story?
I mean, there were certainly mini arcs, but there were also a lot of one-off episodes where you're just following the characters to Planet A to help refugees on Planet A. You know, very, like, mission of the week.
But there was, like, a long-form story to it.
But there was a long, yeah, because they're part of the rebellion, and the long-form story is, you know, they're trying to build the rebellion. So,
In a way that, like, Clone Wars didn't quite have the same sort of long-form story.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So my question is this show more Rebels or more Clone Wars? And interestingly, like, when they do the title treatment at the start of this, it starts off as Star Wars Clone Wars, and then Clone Wars burns away, breaks into Bad Batch, but they still do the Republic is, yeah, like, they do, like, the narration, so it's, like, kind of got, like, shades of Clone Wars, which I thought was a really neat touch, for
I
sure.
I thought that was a really great intro, was to do the newsreel, newscaster-style
intro.
I like that guy a lot.
But also, I feel like that does, that shorthands you a little bit into, like, like, this is, like, going to be similar to what you know, but also things are, like, are a little more uncertain now and a little more dangerous because, like, we're past Order 66. Like, this is a frightening time.
Yeah. And so I think we were talking about, you know, throwing names of the show around. Bad Batch is certainly a choice. But obviously, like, the next best thing would be something derivative of Rebels, but you can't really call it Rebels. But I guess you could have called it Rebellion, but then that can be confusing.
Yeah.
So it's a, I don't know what you call it. You can't call it Rogues, because then you get it confused with Rogue One. So, I mean, there are a lot of, like, synonym words you could throw around, but I don't know. That works for me for now. But if I think of if people have ideas for what a better title for the show would have been,
I think you need to rename what the Bad Batch were. I think, like, you call them, like, the Good Batch, the Great Batch,
the Super Batch.
But to the point about Crosshair, for me, my answer is it comes down to, is this more Clone Wars or more Rebellion, or more Rebels rather?
I don't know yet. Yeah. I think at this point it's hard to say for sure. I think like the show wants us to be comfortable enough to think of it as an extension of Clone Wars, but at the same time, like, with the beginning being, you know, being very similar, it's also leaning into Rebels territory. So I don't know. It'll be really fun to follow and find out.
Yeah. Sure. I'm eager to see any other feedback that we got, Brendan.
Yeah. So we talked a good bit about Omega. Austin wrote in and said, there was a mention of Omega having enhanced senses, and their immediate connection feels very significant. The idea of a clone having a child is pretty interesting to me. So if that's where this is going, I'm absolutely fascinated. Where do you stand that maybe she is the child of one of, or maybe all of, our Bashies?
I still think that she's an Obi-Wan Klonobi.
Okay.
No, I don't actually think so. I don't know. I'm wondering, like, is it going to be like, I feel like if she is connected to the Bad Batch in this way, it's, you know, probably it's like maybe the appropriate scaled answer to the show, because, like, you want this, I don't know. I think, like, I'm in this place where, like, I want to have it both ways, or, like, I don't want it, like, I don't want it to be like the MCU thing where something happens in this show because it needs to set up Avengers 17, right. You know, like,
you don't want it to be the most significant twist of the time. It shouldn't be the crux of the show to find out that she's this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, like, at the same time, I kind of want it to be something that my casual ass is going to get. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
So, like, I find myself caught between two things. And I think, blaster to my head, I would say she should be, you know, like, if she's, like, Hunter's daughter or something like that, that works
fine.
Totally fine for me. How old is Hunter, would you guess? I guess my question on that is, like, do the clones have, like, accelerated growth, or have they lived a lot of life at this point?
I mean, they all seem to be different ages just based on their facial features, their hair, and their statures. So, I mean, it's really hard to tell.
Did they age them up, though? Like, when they did the Django clones and everything, like, were they, like, adults in a matter of, like, 2 years or something like that?
It certainly seemed like they grew very quickly. I think, I believe when they were talking to Lamassu and Tan Wei in Attack of Clones, they had, like, a full battalion in, like, 2 months or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So it took them, you know, it took them a couple of months to grow X amount and then start a new batch and...
So I guess, like, that's my question is, like, what is the, the timeline?
Well, they're supposed to stop aging at the Jango Fett age.
Yeah.
And because the Batch have had their chip, their all of their genetics modified, they are still aging, it appears.
Got it.
So, you know, Echo is older than he should be. Hunter is older than he should be. Wrecker is older than he should be. They're all a little older than they should be. Because they don't have that same inhibitor that stopped the other ones from aging.
Got it. Okay, cool. Any more feedback that we want to cut through?
No, that was all we had for now.
We're recording it.
We had a quick turnaround.
We're recording really quickly. Yeah, we're recording it on, you know, for me, I think, like, I finished watching it maybe, like, 3 hours ago. Like, so it's a pretty quick turnaround. I think what I want to do, Brendan, for sure, is, like, at the end of the month, we'll look back on the month's worth of Bad Batch episodes.
Absolutely.
We'll see where we're at in the show, and then in June we're gonna launch into Solo on A Long Time to Go. But whenever the Bad Batch finale happens, we'll also stop down and do, like, a third podcast about the season.
Absolutely. And yeah, if something huge happens, I mean, we can talk about maybe doing a check-in at some point, depending on how many episodes we actually do end up getting and if there's maybe a big plot development.
I think we got to be a little nimble based on, like, what does the show look like in terms of, like, how many episodes are there?
Flying through hyperspace isn't like dusting crap.
It's not at all. Of course, the conversation will continue on the Post Show Recaps Patreon program. You can join the Discord, a really lively discussion of all things Star Wars happening all the time. You can send us your feedback as well, StarWars@postshowrecaps.com. You can also email me directly, Josh@postshowrecaps.com. You can also tweet @postshowrecaps, and you will be tweeting directly to Brendan Fitzpatrick here, who is... you've got the keys to the kingdom. Yeah. You wield the saber, the lightsaber.
I'll be deflecting your comments with rapid ease and skill.
Yes. You are the Emperor Post Show. No, it's not going to work out. I'm trying to come up with
the Echo Show Recaps.
Echo Show Recaps. Yes.
Yeah.
You are in charge of, you are the Hunter of Post Show Recaps social media. You're in charge of the group. You've got all the right instincts.
I like it.
And I'm the trolls out there are the crosshair trying to take their shots. Yeah, the metaphor doesn't really hold.
They can just stay out of my DMs.
Yeah, for sure. But hit us up. We'd love to keep talking to you. We'd love to keep the conversation going. We will, at the very least, have one more podcast here at the end of May, and then we'll do another one for the Bad Batch Season 1 finale, and perhaps we'll do another check-in along the way, again, depending on just what is the episode length and how much does the situation call for it. But it is cool to have an active Star Wars show on the menu. Are you happy with how it came out?
I'm absolutely thrilled. I mean, I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning and, you know, couldn't sleep. That's how excited I was. I got up, I made coffee in my Star Wars mug, I put on my Rebel Alliance t-shirt, and I sat down to watch it, and I was actually late for work because I was so busy online afterwards talking to people about the episode.
Yeah.
So I was like 10 minutes late for work, and luckily nobody noticed.
Yeah, it's Star Wars Day, you know?
Yeah, it's Star Wars Day.
Everyone relax. It's a holiday. It's crazy that they make you work on a holiday, right? You know? Yeah. That's unbelievable.
But yeah, no, I love it, and I'm really excited to see where the show goes from here. If people have questions, if maybe we were talking too vaguely around whether or not they should check out certain things, I mean, if you want a little more detail on specific things maybe you should check out without having to dive full in, you can always just hit me up and I'm happy to give suggestions.
Yes, at Fitzy Brendan on Twitter.
At Fitzy Brendan on Twitter and Letterboxd and Instagram. So.
And also, you are podcasting about stuff outside of Star Wars.
Podcasting about stuff.
What do you got going on? What do you got going on?
So I am currently in season 2 of the Movie Ladder podcast with my co-host Zach Brooks. Every week we talk about a different movie that somehow connects to the movie the week before. Last week we talked about Meet the Parents, the Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro 2000 classic. Did it hold up? You'll have to listen to find out. And then this week we are recording tomorrow our podcast on Crazy Rich Asians, which I just saw for the first time last night.
Oh, nice.
Really excited about it.
That's great.
Yeah, really excited about it. We have a special guest coming on to talk about that with us. It is the start of Asian Heritage Month. So the timing to watch this and talk about it on a podcast really couldn't have been better. And we're really excited to get to it and get to our guest.
That's awesome. So
you can follow us at The Movie Ladder on Twitter or Instagram. And that's about it. You can follow Zach at Brooksia. You can follow me at Fitzy Brendan.
And Fitzy Brendan, you will also be on another podcast in the very near future.
I know, I need to watch the movie.
On the Post Show Recaps patron program. Coming up, Brendan Fitzpatrick joining myself and Emily Fox for Post Show Recaps Theater. Brendan, it's almost famous, or as I like to say, almost fumoi.
Hold me closer, tiny wiggler.
Yeah, I will. I will. I'll hold you as close as you need.
I'm very excited. I love Almost Famous. I've seen it a dozen times. I'm actually going to watch the director's cut, which I've never seen.
Oh, cool.
So I'm very excited. So that way I'll have more to talk about. And just really excited to get on a podcast with you and Emily.
It's gonna be great.
I have not actually been on a podcast with them yet. So
she's really pumped. We're both really excited. Awesome. We'll probably spend a good amount of that talking about, here's the tease. You ready? We'll talk about Almost Famous, of course. But Brendan will also talk about our legendary Words with Friends battles that we've waged across the years. A saga almost as epic as the Star Wars, itself. It's pretty close.
The galaxy has been at war between us for a very long time.
Yeah.
We'll let the listeners decide which of us is the good guy and which of us is the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy.
Okay.
I'll take it. All right. We'll be back at some point before the end of May with another Bad Batch podcast. In the meantime, check out everything we've got on Post Show Recaps, whether it's Down the Hatch, it's Everything is Super, it's Final Fantasy, it's Community Building. Hang in there. We've got so much going on. We want your ears to be filled with laughter and fun, smart analysis of your favorite TV shows and movies. So sign up on Post Show Recaps. Get your feeds, get your podcast, wherever you get your feed. We are available for you. Looking forward to talking more Star Wars later this month, Brendan. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
May the force be with you.
And with you.